You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
We've got Mr. Finn Andrews coming to us live from the beautiful central Otago town, Wānaka. Finn Andrews, of course, from the Vales. We're going to be talking about their show at Eric's tomorrow. Mōrena to you, Finn. How are you doing? How's Wānaka treating you?
It's good, man. Yeah, we just arrived late last night. But, yeah, the sun's coming up over the lovely lake. It looks like a beautiful day.
Nice. There's a really good ice cream store near the lake, I believe.
Oh, cool.
Highly recommend nice. If you're into ice cream. Are you an ice cream guy?
I mean, I have a two-year-old daughter, and I feel guilty eating ice cream when she's not around. It feels like a strange betrayal, so I probably won't today. I'll have to wait till she's here, too.
Very, very fair. Very fair. You're coming here tomorrow to play a show at Eric's, which is super exciting. When was the last time you were in Dunedin?
I guess like a year and a half ago, something like that. It's been a little while now, but we get down there every chance we get, every Kiwi tour we do, you know?
It's the last leg of the tour, isn't it?
It's the last show. Yeah, last it's the show. Very last show.
What a great note to end the tour on, though. I mean, you come into a great city.
I hope so. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be really, really fun. Are you going to go do any sightseeing while you're down here?
Oh, probably not. No, we'll arrive like, you know, an hour before soundcheck or something, and then we leave the next morning. So I doubt we'll get much time. Maybe we'll have a nice drink after the show. That'll be good. Mm. Where is this Eric's? I've never been there.
Where is this Eric's? It's on Crawford Street, which is kind of maybe 10-15 minute walk south of the Octagon, I guess you could say, on one of the main drags.
It's a confusing city to play in because we're put somewhere different every time, which is rare for us. Usually we play kind of the same two venues, but every time we play in Dunedin, we seem to be somewhere else. I never know what to expect.
Yeah, crack up. It's on the main drag. You can't miss it. Yeah. Are you very familiar with Dunedin geography?
No, not at all.
No, okay, I won't bother you with any details then. You played WOMAD as part of the tour, which would have been an awesome experience. How was that?
It was genuinely one of the best shows of my life. I really had such a... it's a very magical festival. It was the first time my daughter had seen me play, so that was very special. Uh-huh. And then we came off stage and there was an eclipse, and like there's just a lot of like strange, beautiful things going on. Mm-hmm. It just had some shows just have a kind of magic that's none of our making, that just seems to sort of be there when you walk on stage, and it was one of those sort of shows. So yeah, I was we had a great time.
An enchanting evening, one might say.
It was, very much so. An enchanting weekend, even.
Yeah. Well, the 7th album that you're playing to all the different audiences across Aotearoa Asphodels is out now. Do you still feel jittery or, like, nervy whenever you release new material? Or are you just like, this is another rodeo, I'm fine, I've done it before, we're getting through it?
It's an odd... Yeah, I was talking to Dan, our guitar player, about that the other day. It's an odd thing, this, because it's sort of... I asked him, do you enjoy being on stage? Have you ever, like, enjoyed it? And he was like, yeah, it's the best. And I was sort of like, yeah, I don't know if I enjoy it. It's like an odd feeling that I don't have anywhere else. I love the feeling after shows is great. Mm-hmm. But generally, shows are just this sort of... you're at this sort of peak of anxiety and stress, and, like, the day's been... weird and complicated, and you're kind of, and yeah, so it's nerves, it's all of those things at once, and then you go on stage and it all just kind of erupts out of you. So it's, I don't know if it's a pleasurable feeling for me. It's kind of this like release of all of this tension.
Maybe not pleasurable, but necessary, it sounds like.
Yeah, I guess it is. And now I'm so sort of indoctrinated into this like way of life. I don't know. I've been doing this for so long. I don't know anymore what is pleasure and pain in it. It's just a thing I do all the time.
Well, this speaks to some of the existential dread that's found on the album, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is similarly hard to, yeah, to like put your finger on why you do this thing. Why do I find it necessary to write songs is a big question. I don't know. I still wrestle with that all the time. And like going on a stage is a weird thing to do. It's not a normal thing to do. I don't know why I, especially when you don't, you know, if you just loved it or if you really like, if you found all this enjoyment in it and pleasure all the time, then that would make sense. Mm. But it isn't that. It's sort of like this other thing that I feel I have to keep doing all the time.
I mean,
yeah, it's a complicated business, and maybe it's too much to get into at 9 a.m.
No, this is great chat. I mean, there seems to maybe be a kind of an inherent element of maybe egoism when you go on stage, because it is all about, hey, look at me, I'm doing a thing. But I think because you are a pretty down-to-earth guy and the music you make seems to connect with a whole lot of people, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's toxic or problematic or anything. I think you just, that's just how it is, and we should enjoy it, I reckon. If we can,
it's definitely,
if there's going to be life, you may as well try and enjoy it.
It is definitely an egotistical thing to do, though. I think it's at least very inward facing all the time, and that is a strange aspect of it. I think maybe that's why live shows are so necessary. That period where we couldn't tour during COVID and all that, you kind of realized how important that part of it is, and yes, it is about this connection outside of this little bubble we live in all the time, writing these songs and rehearsing them and recording them. And yeah, the audience is just such an integral part of this whole thing, and the people as well. I mean, like, we've been coming to Dunedin for years. I remember these sort of shows back at Sammy's back in the day, and
rest in peace, yes,
all these people we met that we, you know, we've been in this band for over 20 years, so these people I only meet whenever I'm in Dunedin. I've actually known, I've spent quite a lot of time with now. There's all these sort of people as well that you meet on the road that you only see at these times, and that's a really special thing too.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's a quest, it's a journey, it's a whole thing.
Mm.
Now, I want to kind of touch on, I guess, something that might be at the root of all this stuff, because you got big at 16. You know, are there a lot? Do you ever feel like, you know, oh man, I wish I got to study or I got to live a more chill, low key life, and wasn't in the life you are right now? Are there any parts of you that are like, oh, maybe it would have been better if I gotten big at like 20 or 25 or something?
I wish I'd been an astronaut. I was thinking this last night. I was on the plane coming down here, and I was looking out the window, and it's just, you know, sometimes when you're flying, kind of, you could, when it's really clear, it was quite dark as well, you see the moon, and it really felt like this is not that far off, that sort of feeling you would have being in space. And it's like, I'd never even thought about, you know, that being an option, that you could be an astronaut. And it's like, and that really is something I don't have time to become in my life. And it was really sad. I was like, that's a drag. But other than that, yeah, there's so many other lives you can live. I think having a child has made me very aware of that, and sort of like, what will she want to do in the world? What will she want to spend her time doing? And like, all these sort of subconscious cues you give your children, you know, of the things that are valuable and the things that aren't, and the things, you know, mm-hmm. that are a good use of time that aren't, and mm-hmm. sort of being careful not to kind of make any, you know, one thing seem particularly worthwhile and another thing not. And my parents were always very sort of anti-sport and all of that stuff, and kind of, I don't know, I've been careful not to be like that, you know, and like everything, you know,
everything's enjoy life. You know, yeah, do what you want to yeah. do, what makes you happy, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And is it
sort of like, yeah.
Oh, what's right?
No, just, it's maddening. There are so many lives, and we only get to choose one. But I started studying during the pandemic, because I had nothing else to do, so I started doing sort of remote learning.
Oh, nice.
And that was really interesting, because I did sort of miss, I joined the band when I was 16, and I missed, everyone else went to university and was having this kind of cool time, or art school, or whatever it was, and I did feel like I sort of missed out on something there. But mm-hmm. so, yeah, there's time to do lots of things.
Yeah, for sure, man. And is it funny, because you grew up with a dad who was in a few different bands, XTC comes to mind. Is it weird seeing that kind of role passed down to you? Because now you're in a really big band, and you've got a daughter, and you've got a kid.
Oh, it's totally messed up. Yeah. I think and like, because you know, of course, like she's around me playing music all the time. I play the piano all day, and she's there, sort of crawling under the piano. So it's like, this is obviously going to have some sort of impact on her being around this. I hope it's positive, but like, this is a strange life, and I don't know if I would recommend it to my child. I don't know. It's a hard, insecure existence, but I don't know. I think part of why I keep doing this is because I'm so confused by it still. I think if I understood any of it, I'd probably have gotten tired of it by now. But the whole thing is my reasons for doing it, the things I'm making, and the things that they tell me about myself and the world, mm-hmm. is still very enlightening. So I unpredictable. I think if it wasn't like that, yeah, I would have packed it in a long time ago.
I want to touch on, I guess, an upside of this crazy life you've lived, which is that, you know, you've made some beautiful sounds, and this one particular sound from Asphodels, The Dream of Life. My God. It's probably the most obvious point on the album where you address death very, you know, very head on. Is it the Steinway you're playing? Are you playing the Steinway in the song?
Yeah. It was all on this beautiful piano and Roundhead. It's, yeah, I wrote that song. I've been writing this musical for like 10 years, and this was originally written as the sort of opening song. I wanted it to be sung by this sort of big kind of fetus puppet. That was the original idea. I might still do it.
Please but, do. Please do.
Yeah, it's meant to be, yeah. Not just sort of talking about death, I guess it's kind of trying to talk about life as well. And but yeah, these big things, these big topics that I just can't make head nor tail of in my day-to-day life, I guess.
Well, I guess the Steinway is really cracking on that song. The strings are going crazy. You're digesting death, and, you know, obviously there's you know, bringing up life as well, and the cycle of death and life and so on and so forth, rebirth. Do you feel more confident with your feelings around death now? Do you feel more chill about it?
No, not at all. I mean, that's it as well. Is it's sort of this illusion of control over these or of understanding a lot of the time. But I guess that song helped me articulate something. I feel slightly less, you know, terrified and confused because I wrote that song. But it certainly, you know, it didn't cure my existential dread.
Nothing can, I'm afraid. Nothing can.
No, that's a shame, isn't it? Such a shame. There's nothing that can cure that, except for death itself.
Great morning chat. It's awesome. Are you going to be chilling? Are you going to be chilling out on new projects for a bit, or are you going to be straight back in the studio writing more songs, rocking that Steinway?
We're going straight back in. Because there's always a bit of a delay, you know, like. I finished this album at the end of 2023, so I've had a year of stewing and writing, and you get this great feeling, you know, when you've finished touring and you really know who you are and who the band is, and I feel very like secure in a sort of what I want to do, very clear on what I want to do next. So we're going to try and harness that energy and just go straight back into the studio and make another one.
Cool. Can we expect more songs about love and death?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I wish I could broaden my horizons a bit. But that's big stuff. There's a lot to say about those things, those big topics.
There is, and I can't wait to see it live tomorrow at Eric's. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool, man. Yeah, cheers. Yeah, see you at Eric's, wherever the hell that is.
See you there, man. Take care.
Thanks, mate.
Of course. So, yeah. Folks, that was Finn Andrews from The Vales. We're talking about their new album, Asphodels, which is out now. We're also talking about their show at Eric's tomorrow at 8 p.m. You can find tickets from moshtix.co.nz. Here's my favourite track from the record. It's called The Dream of Life. Hope you're all having a great morning and not just thinking about death too much. Enjoy. Thank you.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.